I have a little burden on my heart this morning, and I desire the Lord to help us to be able to convey it with love. And you may wonder in the beginning, because we're planning to lay a little foundation, but before it is finished, I believe the Lord wants to speak to us as saints of God. We want to speak to you this morning about truth, and it is not unfamiliar to any of us. Wednesday night, we had a little prayer meeting that was in the dining room because it was so cold in here. And so it was a very precious little service, and I am sorry that everyone couldn't be there, because the Spirit of the Lord seemed to really bless it. But there was one little statement that really, you know how a statement can just be made and it just sort of strikes a chord in your heart? And this statement was made: I thank the Lord for the truth. I want to say that I thank the Lord for the truth.
Yes.
So we have a few things that we want to give. We couldn't give it all. If you looked it up in the concordance, you would find a lot of verses concerning truth. And it all doesn't have to have just the word truth in it. It's actually the word of God. So it is a vast subject, but we're desiring the Lord to speak to us this morning. We're going to begin with John 18, read verses 33 through 38, and it's about Pilate. And he entered into the judgment hall and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou the King of the Jews? And Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? And Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priest have delivered thee unto me. What sayest thou? What hast thou done? And Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate answered and said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Every one that is of the truth heareth my voice. And of course, we know the memorable answer that Pilate gave, and he said, What is truth? And it's probably a question that people might ask even today. When you and I say, I am thankful for the truth, and they might say, Well, what is truth? It's important for us to understand our language. And the word truth is a part of the vocabulary of the Church of God.
Yes.
And we grow up with it. We have grown up with it. We have heard that word all of our life if we have been raised in the truth. It is our doctrine. It is truth. Everything about the Word of God is truth. But I want to give you some very simple thoughts that we all already know. It is a fundamental quality of God Himself. He is full of truth. He is only of the truth. The scripture says God is abounding. I'm going to just give you a few verses. I'm not even going to turn and read them. God is abounding in truth. That's a scripture. God is truth. All of his paths are mercy and truth. All of his paths. All of God's works is truth. He cannot operate any other way but in truth. Do you see why we're thankful for the truth? Because God is the truth. The truth is the very nature and characteristic of God. Now I read that somewhere. We may not just stop and think about his very nature all the time or his very characteristic, but it will pay us to think about it this morning, that this is his very nature. His laws and his commandments are in truth. Psalms 119 and 160 says, "The entirety of your word is truth." I don't know that I've ever read that scripture, but it certainly fits here. The entirety, the complete word of God is only in truth. Thank the Lord. And of course, we know that the scripture says, Jesus said it, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." We need to not take that for granted. We need not to just pass over it. This morning, I want us to really think about what is truth. Now, it comes down to you and me. That's God. I've just given you just a little tiny glimpse of his nature and what he is and who he is. But Proverbs 23:23 says something about you and me. We are to buy the truth and sell it not. Now, why do we want to buy the truth? We have some parables that Jesus gave. And he said that there was this man, this merchant, that was seeking for goodly pearls. He was looking in another parable for a treasure. And he found this field that the one had the treasure and the other had a pearl. And what did he do? Well, the pearl was by itself, but he found it. He went and he sold everything that he had to buy that field and to buy that pearl. And those treasures and that pearl would represent the truth. It is so valuable. It has to do with my whole life, my whole salvation, the choices that I make, the decisions that I make, the directions in my life. It affects all of that in my life. I can choose something less than truth, and it will take my life in another way. It will color my thoughts. It will determine my convictions. It will cause me to be deceived. And we are going to talk about deception. It's a fearful thing to be deceived. So this is a treasure. This is the pearl. The truth. Buy the truth. Don't ever sell it. What does it mean to sell the truth? Well, I can't say that I know it exactly what it means, but I felt like that there were terms that we have used that are familiar to us, and we've heard it down through our life, and one of those terms was to let down the standard. That would be selling the truth. To compromise the truth is to sell the truth. A scripture came to my mind that said, if I build again the things I once destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. But not everyone claims to be a transgressor that goes back on the truth, that compromises the truth. They still have some kind of claim to the truth. And maybe they have a partial truth. They may have some. Or maybe if they let down the standard, it would be the same as compromising the truth. So you and I this morning, we need to buy the truth, keep the truth, and never sell it. And then we need to value the truth.
Yes.
The next scripture that we have is in Ephesians 6, and we're going to look at 13 through 17 and maybe not read it all for the sake of time. But it's all familiar to us. And it is speaking about putting on the whole armor of God. Now, we've probably heard many messages on the whole armor of God. And it says the reason that we need the whole armor of God is that we would be able to withstand the evil day. Are we in the evil day? We need the whole armor. But let's just speak about the armor briefly. It says that we need to have our loins girt about with what? Truth. It's an important aspect of our whole armor. As a matter of fact, it starts with it. Now, we're familiar with the rest of it. The breastplate of righteousness, our feet shod with the gospel of peace, and the shield of faith that will quench the fiery darts, and we need the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, that's in essence our armor. But I want to talk to you about this girding our loins about with truth. And in studying this, I found out something about what this represented in the armor that they were talking about here. We're not physically putting on an armor such as they did. And in the little book that I was studying about it, there were different kinds of armor, but this is what I found as a principle of girding our loins with truth, being the first part mentioned of the armor. This word, girt or gird, it means to surround or make fast with a belt or a girdle. It also has a meaning of to prepare one's self for action. Two meanings. Now, this belt and this girdle, it was designed, listen to this, this impressed me. It was designed to keep every part of the armor in its place. So all of these other parts of the armor, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the sword of the Spirit, all of that is kept in place by truth. See how important it is to have the truth, to buy the truth and sell it not. It's going to affect every part of my fight, every battle that I fight, every opposition that comes my way. It's going to be the thing that will hold all of the rest of my armor in place. Without it, let's say we compromise the truth, it will have to compromise some other part of the armor. It will have to weaken another part of my armor. Something. Every one of us might find a different place of weakness if we let down the truth. Yes. If we don't hold to the truth. If we don't believe the truth. So I find that's very interesting. Truth being the first part of the armor mentioned. And yet when I studied it, I found it was designed. The girdle. Or the part where I'm girded about with truth, it's to hold everything else into place. Thank the Lord. So what does truth do? It preserves man. It preserves us from losing our morals. We're believing in the truth. We're holding to the truth. Because truth is also purity. It will also preserve me in my calling, in my duties. Remember, we all have a calling. Remember the message of us all having a calling? We're all called. If I am holding to the truth, it will preserve me in my call. Thank the Lord. If I am holding to the truth, it will also be my strength. It will establish me. It will settle me. It will be the foundation of my walk with the Lord. Anything less than truth is going to affect the effectiveness of my walk. Thank the Lord that we know the truth. The truth also will help us to be on our guard. When we are familiar with the truth and we have it hid in our hearts, it will keep us from sinning. Yes. Thank the Lord. Truth in our hearts will keep us from sinning. Now, there's another scripture in John 8 and 32, just want to give that here. It's familiar to us. Ye shall know the truth. And what will the truth do? It will make us free. There's so many things about freedom that is important to the people of God. Because the scripture says that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. God is desiring his people to be free. We have a song, and maybe somebody will have to help me a little bit with it. I get it sort of mixed up sometimes. We go where we want to, and we do what we please. And that's what we're doing today. Who got you by the collar today and said you have to go to church? It was the truth that drew us actually to the services today. To worship the Lord. To hear in his word. To know better how to walk. We don't come here to waste time. We're not here to entertain. I want to tell you, if you came for entertainment today, you'll be disappointed. We don't have a band, and we don't have some stories. If you've come with itchy ears, you'll leave with them. So this morning, we are here because of the truth. Thank the Lord. So this says, you're going to be free. It says, ye shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Now, there's other things it will set you free from. It will set you free from sin if you will lant it. Yes. You have to lant the truth, work in your life, yes, in order for it to break the power of sin in your life. You have to lant it. But you are also sanctified, and this is a scripture, by the truth. It's what leads us and guides us into what? All truth. The Spirit of the Lord leads us and guides us into all truth. And so when I've given myself to the Lord to be justified and liberated from the bondage of sin, and I am set free, you remember Pilgrim's Progress and how that he had his pack on his back, the weight of his sins he bore. And even when he was forgiven and the pack was removed, what did he say? It almost felt like it was still there. Like a man that has on a hat and he takes it off. That's what he compared it to. Maybe not immediately we will realize the freedom and the liberty when we are set free from sin, but he soon felt it. And you and I will too. That guilt is washed away, and I am set free. I'll tell you, the truth is a wonderful thing. But then I'm going along my path, and I'm coming to a place that I'm realizing how much more I need God, how much I need his power. And I realize then I need his Spirit dwelling in me and working in me and always guiding me into the truth. Thank the Lord. And so what do? I come to that place that I seek for, the infilling of the Holy Spirit, and we call that sanctification. And it is by the truth. By the truth. So the truth is a very wonderful thing. So far we have been trying to just give us a little picture of what is truth. And now I want to direct our thoughts to things that are true. Still laying a foundation. So this is what the Lord has given me this morning. It is true, see, we spoke about truth, but now we're talking about things that are true. It is true that the righteous need to be warned that they sin not. That's the truth. It is true that the judgment of God is according to truth. We have to believe that. When God judges his people, when we are judged in the end of our life, it will be according to the truth. Yes. It won't be according to our opinions, our ideas, or what other churches taught, or what the religious world believed. It's going to be by the word of God, which is truth. So we know this. That's a scripture. It is true that you and I can be bewitched, that we will not obey the truth. That's based on scripture too. That's true. After we have lived for the Lord a number of years, and maybe not even so long, but we have an adversary, and we know who he is. And we're not ignorant of his devices. We should not be. We should be familiar with every plan, every trick of the enemy. If we're not, the Lord wants to teach us and enlighten us to all of the snares and traps of the enemy. Because his purpose is to bewitch us, that we will deviate from the truth in some way. It's very important that we be not ignorant. Yes. It is true that if you and I are guilty of one point, we're guilty of all. Sounds hard, That scripture has been impressed upon me in a great way. I don't believe the Lord wants you and me to be under such bondage of fear of, what if I'm guilty of one point? What if? I don't believe he has a people that lives in that kind of fear and bondage. I think I've testified to this, that during the month of January, I was not only sick, but I was in a great spiritual battle. And I spent much time praying and weeping before the Lord and crying out to him to search me and try me and see. I had such an urgency in my spirit to know that there was nothing between me and God. And it lasted most of the month of January. But there came a point that the Lord stopped me, and that he began to deal with my heart about a scripture that he had given to me a long time ago. Did you know sometimes we forget what God gives us? And he has to remind us. But he will remind us. He's faithful. And the Lord spoke to me in the scripture that said, if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal this even unto you. And I rested. You know, God is faithful. He wants you to make heaven more than you do. And he has a plan to get you there. And he will show us if we need to repent of anything. He will reveal it. Thank the Lord. So that scripture also I was affected when our daughter was killed. Young people, you know, I didn't know. I believed she was saved. She had all of the evidences of having been a child that was turned to the Lord from a little child, tender towards the Lord. And I knew her desire was to live for the Lord even then. I knew the things that she had given up for God. She had really followed the Spirit of the Lord. But the enemy plagued my mind with this scripture. That's why I know the Lord is not desiring for us to be plagued in our mind with that scripture, even though it is true. It's true. If you're guilty of one point, you're guilty of all. And what that really means is, it means that you're not doing all of these other things, but it only takes a spot or a wrinkle. And so when we're guilty of one point and we're lost over this one that seems so insignificant, and we compare it to the gross sins, and we almost justify ourselves because this is such a tiny sin. Remember, there was one in Pilgrim's Progress that also did that. Oh, this is just a tiny sin. I'll take care of it tomorrow. And the answer was, tomorrow never comes. We don't want to put off. When the Lord is dealing with our heart, we want to respond right then. But nevertheless, I was vexed and plagued in my mind, and no one knew it, no one but God, not even my husband. From the time she died until in April after that. And it turned out it was on her birthday, but I got a message from her. We had a relative of my brother-in-law, George, and she had a dream. She did not know Jan real well. She had a dream, and Jan came to her in that dream, and she had on a white flowing gown, and she had the look of absolute happiness. And she came and took hold of Mary's hand and said, give my mother a message. Tell her I have perfect peace. I did not worry anymore. So the enemy wants to vex us sometimes and get us overly conscientious. Oh, what if there is one thing and I don't know about it? Trust in the Lord. He will show you. He'll give you. But it is true that we must take care of the one point in our life, whatever it is. It is true that every man's ways are right in their own eyes. That's true. It's easy to fall into that. It is true that you and I can be deceived, we can be blind, and we can believe a lie about ourselves. That is true. It is true that there are people that can be ignorant of God's righteousness and try to establish their own righteousness. That is scripture. That is true. It can happen. So all of these things that I have read to you right now, they're true based on the truth. It can happen. So our burden then, having said all of that about the truth, is in Romans, the first chapter, and verse 18. And it says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." I want to read it again. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. I have said many times, the congregation knows this. My calling is to the saints. And one of my greatest burdens is that we give the warnings that the saints sin not. It's most important. Because the enemy would like to bewitch us to not obey the truth. So you and I, we need to obey all of the truth. We can know the truth. We can have head knowledge. We can be so taught and raised as children that we have a knowledge that is simply in our mind and not really in our heart. It will be truth, but we won't understand it. We will just simply have knowledge. Knowledge will not save you, but knowledge will help you find the truth. It will also help you come to the place that you can have the convictions. You can have light and understanding. You can. I maintain that even if we are raised in the truth and taught the truth, there will come a place, a time in your life. It happened to me. I'm sure it has happened to most, if not all, that you have to have the light and the understanding and the convictions for yourself. You can't go on mom and dad. They gave you the knowledge, and they hoped that you would catch hold of it and that you would seek for it for yourself. So all of us can have knowledge, but what do we do with the knowledge then? And then it says we can believe in the truth. We can go to that next level. I can believe it. It's made real to me. I can believe it. It's in my heart now. I can stand for the truth. You ever heard that term? That's familiar. That's vocabulary for the Church of God. We want to stand for the truth. I can measure to the truth. Is that familiar to us too? Yes, that's vocabulary for the Church of God. He's measuring to the truth. I remember Sister Velda. Sister Velda got saved in Louisiana, not with the Church of God, but she really got saved. And she also, the day she got saved, the night she got saved, she went back to her seat, and there was something that spoke to her that she needed something more in order to make it. Now, she didn't do what we all think you do, go out and live saved for a while and then decide you need the Holy Spirit. She went back to the altar that night and sought for the infilling of the Holy Spirit, the sanctifying power of the Holy Spirit. I believe with all of my heart that she made it because she saw the need right then and responded to it. She did not know the truth. She did not know the standards. She was never taught. And so she moves up here and she says to her dad, where do I go to church? Her dad had heard of Faith and Victory at Guthrie. And he sent her to look for the Church of God in Guthrie.
She came to our house.
Yeah. She drove the streets. She stopped in front of a church that said Church of God. I've got chills as I'm telling this. This is true. She got out and started walking up the steps to that church, and the Spirit of the Lord said, this isn't it. You know, we need to live just that close to the Lord that He can guide us. She went back and got in her car, started driving some more, and she saw Brother Dale in his yard getting in the car. And she stopped and she said, do you know where the Church of God is? She was being guided by the Holy Spirit. I was at Guthrie that Sunday morning. Velda wore the only dress that she had. And it was a long dress, but it was revealing in other ways. And she found out about the little congregation here, and she lived not far out east of here. And this became her congregation. Nobody tried to judge her in her dress, but she observed, and through the Spirit of the Lord, He taught her how to clothe her body and how to live, and she became a pillar in this congregation. I believe she had a gift of healing. She would come down and lay hands on when we would pray. She really believed in trusting the Lord with her children. And for many years, she anointed them with cooking oil. But it worked. It worked. Thank the Lord. She measured to the truth. And she was a blessing to the Church of God and to this congregation, I want to tell you. When she died, do you know one thing I missed of her the most? Her amens. She supported the messages. And that's what I missed so much when she died. We can measure to the truth in our dress and all appearance. We can measure to the truth in not loving the world or going after the world. We can do that. We can have a testimony. We can trust God for healing.
Amen.
We can faithfully be in service. Now, what key word have I been saying in all of this? Can. We can do it. We can be all of these things. But you and I can do all of those things and still be lost. That's the warning. We don't want to trust in our own righteousness. We cannot trust in our own goodness, our own righteousness. We can't look at ourselves and say, well, I go to church this many times a week, And I look like this, and I dress like this, and I do this, and I believe in his healing, and I... You can't trust in it. That's the danger. The scripture that I read to you about the wrath of God coming down from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, it was against those who held the truth and still had something that was unrighteous in their life. To hold something that is unrighteous, what does that mean? You know what? The devil doesn't have the ability to make me or cause me to go out and smoke a cigarette. Or to go out and go to the casinos. We talked about that Wednesday night is one reason we're bringing that up. He can't make any of us do that. And he can't tempt us to go out and commit adultery. He can't do that. But what can he do? There are some things he would like to plant in your heart and mind and trouble your life. The scripture says, if we have aught against our brother, just as simple as that. If I am unforgiving, did you know that nobody has to know it but you and God? Just like nobody knew the enemy was vexing my heart and mind, this can be so hidden in a person's life, and all of this other righteousness of the truth. But God knows. The scripture is so plain on being forgiving. If I do not forgive those that trespass against me, the scripture says, he will not forgive me. It'll be that one point that I'm guilty of. I could believe the truth, stand for the truth, measure to the truth, have a testimony, trust God for healing. I can be faithful in service, but if I'm holding aught, and unforgiveness, it will be that one point that he cannot. I'll be guilty. I'll be guilty the same as if I'd gone out and done it all. Criticizing, backbiting, and the scripture is so plain on these things. We can be bewitched. We have personality differences. We're all made up different. We're grown up in different families. We have different mannerisms. The scripture tells you and me to bear and forbear. To bear long with our brother and our sister. We cannot afford to criticize We cannot afford to backbite. We can't afford it. It can be that one point that I'm guilty of all. I've done all of this other. I love the truth. And the enemy will bewitch me. To hold resentment, to be jealous or envious. You all know that I went through a little time that I was jealous. The Lord had to bring me down and reveal to me, and He will do it the same for all of us. If we have jealousy in our heart, oh, when the Lord spoke that to me, that you're jealous. Oh, I felt so ugly. I thought it was, and then the enemy said, and you can't tell anybody. And here you are a preacher, and you're jealous. I want to tell you, you can't go to heaven with jealousy or envy or strife. Can't do it. I shall never forget that night, because the enemy even said I couldn't tell my husband. And I sunk down low. And I knew I had to expose it. Did you know confession is part of your victory? Confession is good for your soul. We get embarrassed. But I'll tell you, when you confess it, you're not so apt to go back to it. You're not. It's one reason I'm not ashamed to confess it to you, because you may have a problem similar. And I can testify to you, there's victory if you confess it. You won't be fighting that battle again. By the help of the Lord, I did confess it to my husband, and we went in and we wept and prayed, and I resisted that thing. God forgave me of that thing. And I started praying, Lord, don't allow any jealousy in my heart. That's where we win our victories. Oh, I want to tell you, it can be that one point that I'm guilty of. Jealousy. Secret sins. Even giving ourselves to pleasures of the flesh, and nobody knows it, but God knows it. Remember, I can believe the truth. I can stand for the truth. I can measure to the truth. I can have the testimony. I can trust God for healing. I can be faithful in service and have one point. Don't ever pet any sin in your life. It will only become stronger. It will grow more. And there will come a time others will see it if you allow it to grow. So in closing, I'm just going to say this one little statement. We must obey all the truth, nothing but the truth. So help me, God. Pray for me.